Hey everybody, welcome to our morning devos. Today's chapter is Luke chapter 9. Let me read this for us and I'll share some thoughts afterwards. So Luke chapter 9. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening, and he was perplexed because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead, by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen. Herod said, John I beheaded. But who is this about whom I hear such things? And he sought to see him. On their return, the apostles told him all that they had done, and took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he followed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions for we are here in a desolate place. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. They said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And they did so, and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. Now it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. And he asked them, who do the crowd say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But others say, Elijah. And others, that one of the prophets of old has risen. Then he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, the Christ of God. And he strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed on the third day, be raised. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, 2 men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory, and the 2 men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make 3 tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, this is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days of anything of what they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. And behold, a man from the crowd cried out, Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child. And behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at his mouth and shatters him, and will hardly leave him. And I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. While he was coming, the demon threw him to the ground and convulsed, but Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. And all were astonished at the majesty of God. But while they were all marveling at everything he was doing, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men." But they did not understand the saying, and it was concealed from them, so that they might not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about the saying. An argument arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. But Jesus, knowing the reasoning of their hearts, took a child and put him by his side and said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all is the one who is great." John answered, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him, for the one who is not against you is for you." When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." There's a saying that you may have heard before. Whenever you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. It's a wise piece of advice that's usually used with regards to things like learning to set boundaries or having good priorities. But at the core of this saying is this lesson that there is a cost to everything. I can't say yes to everything because by committing my time, energy, and/or resources to one thing, there's something else that I can't be giving my time, energy, and/or resources. In our passage, twice we see sections where Jesus teaches about the cost of following him. In verses 23 through 27, Jesus tells us that if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In other words, anyone who wants to follow Jesus must die to themselves. And then in verses 57 through 62, we see once again what it means to follow Jesus. When someone exclaims that they will go wherever Jesus goes, Jesus points out that when following him, there's no knowing where he will take you. And then we see in the following verses, we also don't know what it may mean in terms of things like earthly possessions or comforts and even family relationships. We could talk about each of these things specifically, but for the sake of time, I just want to get to this point that ultimately, Jesus is very clear that there is a cost to following him. Sacrifices of various kinds are an expected part of following him. To go back to what I said at the start, when we say yes to Jesus, we're saying no to many other things. Now, if we leave it at that, following Jesus might not seem like the most enticing thing, but fortunately, there is a lot more to this. In verses 24 and 25, Jesus says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Basically, Jesus is saying that when we give up our lives for his sake, when we let go of our lives and the things that we might want to pursue or hold on to, when we willingly sacrifice and say yes to him, even at the cost of saying no to other things, then we will truly live. All too often, I think it's our tendency to do what Jesus says in the first part here and try to save our lives. What he's saying is that we try to pursue our own desires. So for many of us, that might mean the pursuit of personal comforts and pleasures. Or to take it a step further, we might try to accrue all sorts of wealth or experiences and really in the end just make our lives about ourselves. It's our natural, sinful tendency to put our wants and needs before that of others, sometimes even before the teachings and directions of Jesus. But what Jesus is saying here is that when we do this, we'll ultimately lose our life. And you know, I don't think you have to be a Christian actually to see this. Sometimes this kind of living might mean getting sucked into an addiction of some kind. Or maybe not necessarily an addiction to a specific substance or something like that, but to an action, such as the constant pursuit of the next new experience or next new fun thing, or because at some point, the feelings from the first one wear off. Because nothing else in this world can ever fully satisfy, and by that I mean nothing other than Jesus can ever fully satisfy, if we're looking for other things, we're going to constantly be in pursuit of the thing or the things that we think might. And then we go into the next thing in the hopes that that thing might, and on and on and on. And we end up losing ourselves in the process, no longer having any sense of fullness of life, but rather being driven by this pursuit of pleasure and happiness. In that sense, you no longer actually have any semblance of control over your life. You're being controlled by something else. But when we let go of ourselves, and instead we surrender to Jesus, we see again in verse 24 that it is then that we will have life. Let's face it, nobody likes sacrifice. I mean, nowadays we don't even like minor inconveniences, like if it's just a little too hot in the room, or if that food that you ordered is just a little bit off from what you thought it should be like. But we see here that following Jesus has a great cost, but it's one that is ultimately worth it. So it might not be easy, in fact it's not going to be easy, but it's ultimately worth it. My question for us today is this: are you willing to make that sacrifice? My guess is many of us listening today have already made this decision to follow Jesus, and therefore you've made sacrifices of various kinds, and praise God for that. But I'd like for us to examine our hearts a little bit more today. Am I actually living sacrificially, giving up my comforts and my desires for his sake? Or are there still areas where I'm living for myself? Keep in mind, living this life of sacrifice doesn't necessarily mean we all have to sell all of our belongings and live a life of poverty and just always be in a state of physical or emotional discomfort. The wild thing is that you can actually do all those things and still be doing it for yourself. When we talk about sacrifice, it ultimately consists of surrendering ourselves to God and seeking to live a life of obedience to him. So again, it's not just about following a set of actions and doing a bunch of good or seemingly good moral things. It's about surrendering our will to follow his, to live a life of obedience, to be able and willing to go where you may not want to go. So again, let's take some time to examine our hearts today. Are we obedient to his calling? Are we willing to go where he will take us, even if it's not where we personally would want to go? And as we examine our hearts, let's pray. Surrender our hearts a little bit more today and pray that we would live this life of obedience to Christ. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for this, your word. And Lord, you make it very clear that following you is going to be difficult, that there is a cost to this. But Lord, we also know, and you make it very clear, that when we follow you, that's when we actually have life. And so God, I just pray that you would help us all to live in this way, where we are following you, obedient to your will, trusting that wherever you lead us is for our good, for the good of the world around us. And so Father, help us to consider the cost and choose to say yes to you each and every day. And though we know and believe that you will make it clear to us that it is worth it. So we thank you, God, for this time in your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.